Amen. That's quite an army that's marching forward. Hallelujah. We need to continue to pray for them. I believe that this Wednesday we're going to hear an exciting testimony about what God did last week in the children's ministry. Okay? Is that true, Martha? Okay, that works out. Okay? I really want to encourage you to come and hear that, because I've been asking you to pray for what God is doing with them. And when the results come, I want you to hear about that, okay? I want you to hear, because some tremendous things happened, hallelujah, and I want you to hear about that so that we can be encouraged to pray even more. We are really believing for a generation that is going to be raised up in our area of children that are going to be filled with the power of God, that are going to walk in His purposes and promises, and that are going to accomplish great things for His kingdom on the earth in their own individual calling, okay? And they're not going to be sidetracked into the things that sidetrack so many of us in our generation. Now, can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Amen? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. As has been mentioned, I wanted to also thank everyone that was able to come out and help with our spring cleaning yesterday. That was a wonderful, wonderful time of both accomplishment and fellowship. And so I really appreciate everyone that came. A lot was done in a short amount of time. And God is good. He redeems the time so that we accomplish a lot. In Jesus' name, it was very, very powerful. And we even had a situation where it seemed like some had gotten into some poison ivy, but we prayed and there's nothing, no poison ivy going around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's what they said. So, okay. Amen. All right. Spontaneous. That's great. That's great. Okay, I want you to turn to the scriptures in Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to talk about resurrection life today. Hallelujah. Resurrection life. And I could not be more excited, because the power of the Lord is present here with us. Amen. And he's calling things back to life inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 will be the first scripture that we'll start with. And I want you to pay close attention as we build. We're going to build a scriptural foundation for what we're going to close with, okay? As we build this foundation of where we are in Christ and what the scripture tells us about it, it's going to help us to know how to move at the end of the service. So this is very important. Colossians 2, 9 through 12. For in him being Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, that first statement there is a very, very powerful statement. It says in Jesus, the scripture says in him, but it's referring to Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Okay? Now, as we look at that, it says elsewhere in scripture that God is spirit. Okay? Here it speaks about how the fullness of God dwells in bodily form, in Jesus Christ. Now, ever since Jesus became both fully man and fully God, he stripped himself, according to Philippians 2, of some of his divine attributes temporarily in order to accomplish the purpose of God as the Son of Man here on the earth. But he remained fully God, fully man, ever since he was born on that day. And laid in a manger there in Bethlehem, he has had a bodily form. Okay? That is something that we could spend a lot of time talking the theology about, but that is not necessary that we do that. Okay? It just talks about how here the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. From that time on, Jesus has had a body, and he will for all eternity. Okay? That's very important that we understand that, because as we understand that, it's going to help us understand where our position is. Okay? Until we understand fully where Jesus is, it's hard for us to understand what our position is. And as we understand what the Scripture says is our position, then we can have the faith to move into His purposes for our lives. Okay? It dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, is the following phrase. In Jesus, you have been made complete. Now, I'm going to spend some time this morning talking about that phrase, in Him, because normally Christians spend a lot of time emphasizing about how the Lord lives in us, and that certainly is true, okay? By His Holy Spirit, He now dwells inside of us. Amen. He is inside of us. He is in our heart, if you will, all right? But the Scripture tells us another truth that is very important for us to understand in order for us to know how to access the benefits and the blessings that He has for us, okay? It's not only that He is inside of us, but we also are in Him, okay? In Him, you have been made complete. Now, this is very important because as we understand who we are in Him, we can then begin to move towards the completeness that He has for us. How many want to get rid of just partial blessing and want to receive complete blessing? Okay? In Him, you have been made complete. This is very, very, very key as we learn how to receive resurrection life in our lives. It is accessed in Him. As we are identified in Him, we are made complete. Now, I want to mention something about the body of Christ. You know, because Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father, okay, waiting for all of His enemies to be made His footstool. But here on the earth, there is still His body. Okay? There is still His body. The Bible calls it the body of Christ. And what is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is the church. In Him, you have been made complete. We need to understand that when we believed in Jesus, when we were saved, when we were born again, we were made to be a part of His body, the church. Amen. That is not something that we decide that we want to be a part of. That is not something that we have the decision as to whether it happens or not. When I was born again, the Scripture says, I became a part of His body. Okay? This is very important that we understand because in Him we have been made complete. Through the body of Jesus Christ that was crucified, and He died, and He was buried, and He raised from the dead, okay? Through that physical body, as a man here on the earth, I have access to many, many blessings, okay? But His body is not here with us in that way now. He is with the Father in heaven. He has been exalted, been given the name above all names. What is the shape that His body takes here on the earth now? It is the church. Because Jesus wants every believer to become a part of Him, to be in Him, He places every believer in the body of Christ. Amen. In Him, we have been made complete. Okay? There is no way for me to access the fullness of what God has for me, the fullness of the calling that He has for me, apart from His body. Okay? And that includes the blessings that I receive when it comes through our faith in what was done on the cross, in His physical body that died on the cross. And it also is another part of that is our part in the body of Christ, the church. In Him we have been made complete. Together we are accomplishing something that is greater than any one of us could accomplish on our own. God has placed us in a body. It's not so that we would torment each other. It's not so that we would bother each other. He has placed us in the body in order that we can be made complete. He has placed us in the body so that here on the earth, we can access the fullness of what he has for us. Amen. He's placed us in the body because he wants us to live resurrection life. Yes. He's placed us in the body in order that we can become the greatest thing that has ever been seen here on the face of the earth, which is the bride of Christ. Amen. Amen. The fullness of the desire of the heart of the Lord. That is something that we accomplish together. We have been made to be a part of his body, and in him we have been made complete. There is no way for me to fully accomplish what God has for me to accomplish here on the earth apart from his body. Amen. Okay. Now, this is very important that we understand. I receive the blessings that he poured out upon me through the sacrifice, through the death, through the burial and the resurrection of his physical body. I receive the completeness and the fullness of that blessing here on the earth as I am in Christ, as I am part of the body of Christ here on the earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know that that's not a very popular or a very common thing to hear, you know, because the enemy knows that the church is the body of Christ. The enemy knows that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. The enemy tries to make it seem as if the church were irrelevant. The enemy tries to make it so that our love and devotion and participation in church lessens rather than increases. Okay? It's not religious obligation that places us in the church. It is the Lord himself, and he does that in order to release the fullness of his blessing in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is good, and everything that he does is done for my good. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. He is good. Now, continuing on in this passage, you know, when we see that we have been made complete in him, what are some of the things that includes in my life? I've been made complete in him. I've received fullness of purpose. Amen. There is no possibility of a believer having no purpose. Okay? I have received the fullness of purpose. And as has already been stated, one of the greatest purposes, perhaps the greatest purpose in my life, you know, and I firmly believe that it is for me to play my part in raising up the body of Christ here on the earth. Because that is what is eternal. The giftings that I have, they will pass away. But the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, will remain forever. Okay? The things that I do individually, they may or may not last. But the things that I do in order to help build the body of Christ, that will remain forever. That is the fulfillment of the desire of his heart. That is what he is looking for here on the earth. He is waiting for his body to be made ready. And when that happens, when the church becomes the glorious bride that Ephesians talks about, amen, that is what will last for all eternity. What we are doing together has a far greater purpose than what we do separately. Okay? Unless what we are doing separately is cooperating for the greater purpose. So when we talk about being made complete in him, we have received fullness of purpose, and we have also received fullness of resources. Amen. We have not only received the purpose, but we have received everything that we need to accomplish the purpose. All of this is tied together with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to release resurrection life inside of us, you know. And I want to tell you, this is something that I want to speak out to you today. I believe that God is releasing resurrection life in Grace Covenant Church. And I believe that he's going to raise up this part of his body to be an expression of his power and of his glory in this area. Amen. I believe that he's doing that. I believe that God is raising us up. I believe that he's getting us to be more committed to him and to each other. I believe that he has great purposes for this church. I speak that out as resurrection life upon us. Amen. In Jesus' name. You know, as we are in these two services, I believe that God is releasing something greater inside of us. He is releasing greater power than we used to experience. He's releasing more healing. You know, and we need to understand that God's purpose is not just that we would have some good services. God's purpose is he is shaping his body. He is shaping the bride of Christ. He is preparing her for all eternity. And he's going to make her a living demonstration of his power, of his holiness, and of his goodness here in this area. Now, I don't know if you're excited about that, but I am plenty excited about that. Hallelujah. I want to see this area being impacted by the power of the church. Amen. I want to see, you know, just like what is being said about Shane Stanley down there in Wilmington. He told me this week that his doctor told him that he is turning heads inside of that hospital. All of the medical staff are looking around and they're waiting to see. They're amazed at what's happening next. They're amazed at how quickly he is recovering. They're amazed at all the things that God is doing. You know, I remember when I told him 10 days or about 11 days ago, right after that he had his accident, I told him that I believed that he would walk out of there in less than 30 days. You know, and he looked at me and I could tell he wanted to believe, but he didn't say a word. Hallelujah. You know, he didn't say a word. You know, but yesterday we saw that, and I told him, so do you remember when I told you that? I said, it's not because I'm anything, but just the Lord uses me as an instrument to say things that he wants to do in order that we can release faith in that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Terry, I believe you're going to be better than you've ever been. Ever since you had that stroke, I believe that you're going to be better. I believe that you're going to be restored. I'm speaking faith into your situation. Not because I know everything, but because I believe that is the will of God for you. Amen. Amen. It's not that you would be limited. It's not that you would go into decline. It's not that you would go into decreasing. It's that you would go into increasing. That you would begin to recover health. That you would begin to live life more fully than you have been. Amen. And if you agree with that for Terry, then just say it in Jesus' name. Just say amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good. God's got great things for us. You know, and I want the people of our area to be turning their head as they see. What's going on over there? What's in the water over there? What's happening over there? Hallelujah. You know, this is disgusting. People are leaving Grace Covenant Church and they're happy. Hallelujah. What's wrong? They must have something that's wrong over there because people are happy to be in church. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want people's heads to be turning, not so that Grace Covenant will receive any kind of a name, but so that Jesus Christ will receive the glory that is due his name. I want to see us being shaped into something better than what we are individually. I want us to see us being shaped into something collectively that is greater than what we are as parts. I want to see us being able to agree more fully. I want us to see us be able to contend more strongly, more powerfully for advance. See, we're not playing church. We're trying to advance the kingdom of God in this area and indeed all over the world. We're not trying to do something that will make us just have a nice little group of believers. What we're trying to see is the bride of Christ coming forth. And if that is your purpose, then that is in line with the fullness of purpose that God has for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak some things that I wasn't planning on saying, Pastor Wade. I'm going to speak some things. I want to see it happen. Just like it says in the book of Acts, that more and more people are being healed. I guess there's no one sick here today, because if there was, they would say amen to that. I want to see more and more people being healed. I want to see more and more miracles happening. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I want to see more and more drug addicts set free. I want to see more and more people, more and more teens that are bound up in rebellion and bitterness because of things they've experienced, being set free from that. Hallelujah. I want to see more and more children falling in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Loving Him with all of their heart. Serving Him with all of their heart. I want to see that happening. I don't want to be playing church. We're talking about the bride of Christ coming forth in our area. We are a part of that. Okay, we are a part of that. Other congregations also are a part of that. But I'm talking to the people that I'm responsible for right now. Okay, and I believe that God's up to something big in this area. Come on, can we get a little excited about that? I believe God's up to something big in this area. We've had church a long time in this area. Now it's time for the move of God. Amen. We've had churches on every corners for a long time. Now it's time for the move of God. I want to see God shake this area. I want to see the topic of conversation at IGA or at Whaley's be, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about how they got healed? They said they were healed anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is good. There's fullness of purpose and there's fullness of resource. There's fullness of purpose and there's fullness of resource. Okay, how do we access that? Well, here's how we access that as we continue in the passage. He is the head over all rule and authority, and in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. First of all, Jesus is the head over all rule and authority. In Him, there is no resistance that can hold you and I back from doing His will. Amen. This is why it is so important for us to be in Him. Not only that He be in us, but that we be in Him. Okay, this is a secret. This is very, very key. When I began to understand this, it changed my life. Up until the time that I understood that I was in Him, I tried to be a better person. I tried to be a good Christian, but I was trying in my own efforts. I was trying in my own strength to become a better believer. And I discovered that it would seem like I could do that for a while, and it would seem like it was coming together. But what would happen eventually is the real me would come out. The real me would come out. You know, and then as I began, you know, I'll confess, I got really, really frustrated over this. Because I saw in the Bible, you know, that there was something greater than what I was walking in. You know, these things were defeating me that I didn't want to defeat me, okay? And I didn't understand my position of being in Him. I just thought that He was in me and that now the rest was up to me. And this is very, very key, guys. When I begin to understand that it's not just that He's in me, but that I am in Him, then I have the key to unlocking the power of His resurrection life inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When I am in Him, I am made complete. Then he says there, he continues on saying that it's in him you were also circumcised. This happened in him. With the circumcision made without hands and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. When is it that the old self got cut away? When is it that the old life that I want to overcome, that I don't want to have come forth in me anymore? When did that happen? We talk about it in this church so much because it's so important that we understand it. It happens according to the scripture when we're water baptized. In him. Okay? In him. You know, the importance of water baptism cannot be overstated. Now, I'm not saying that people are not saved unless they're water baptized, because we're saved when we believe in Jesus Christ. We're forgiven of our sins. We're born again, okay? And we become saved in his name by his grace through faith, okay? But the Bible says in him, that old man, that old nature is removed, okay? And when does that happen? It happens in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. Now, this passage is very powerful because it talks about us being raised up in the resurrection life of Jesus. Okay? But once again, how is it possible for someone to be raised up unless they've been buried? Okay? How can I be raised up in resurrection life unless I have been buried with him in baptism? It's really a miserable thing when Christians are born again and receive the desire to live a new life and yet don't have the fullness that comes in him. In water baptism, I become identified in him. Thank you, Lord. This is what the scripture teaches, not only here, but also in scriptures like Romans 6. It's very, very important that we understand what we have access to in him. Thank you, Lord. I don't want any spouses to begin to shout hallelujah today. You know, when we talk about people being changed, oh, hallelujah. But, you know, I will tell you this. In him, we have access to a changed life. In him, we have access not to a better you that self-help promotes, but in him, we have access to the very life of Jesus, which transforms us to become more like him. Okay? How can I know whether someone really understands the power of being in him? If someone really understands the power of being in Jesus and is releasing that in their life by faith, as it says in the following statement, the following sentence, if that is happening in reality, what is happening is I'm becoming more like Jesus. I'm not becoming a better Jim Pope. I'm becoming more like Jesus. Because in him, it's his life that is lived. It's his resurrection life that comes forth. In him, there's no room for Jim Pope to be living his life. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. In him, we have access to that. And how does that happen? It says it there in the last sentence in this passage. It says this: having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. How many people here have parts of your nature that you wish were dead? Okay. How many people here have parts of your life that you do and you say things, that you say angry, hateful things, or you think them or you feel them, and you can't seem to get rid of them? You know, how many people here have jealousies and dissensions and strife and contention? How many people here, very contrary to Pastor Wade, have some stubbornness rather than sanctified determination? How many people here struggle with these things, okay? You know, the solution to getting rid of them is to live life in Him through faith, not through my efforts, through faith, I'm going to keep really knocking hard on this, pounding away at this, because we want something real, guys. Amen. We don't want just religious obligation. We don't want just that we can improve for a day or two, you know, and then after a couple of days, what happens is I go back to my old self. We don't want that. Resurrection life being released in me changes me. It transforms me. I become as if it were a different person. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay? All of this is accessible to us in Him. It's resurrection life. What happens is the very nature and the very life of Jesus Christ begins to come forth in you and in me in daily life as we believe in what God has done. Oh, I'm going to keep pounding away at it. You know, because what eventually is going to happen is the Word of God is going to sink inside of us. And we're going to begin to understand and to know that it doesn't matter how powerful those things are. In Him, they have been overcome. In Him, they no longer can rule over me. In Him, there is no rule or power that I am subject to other than His. Hallelujah. In Him, life is different. Hallelujah. That bitter self, it goes away and becomes someone filled with life, love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the very nature of Jesus Christ coming forth in me that happens in Him as I believe. Amen. In Him, I have access to resurrection life. Thank you, Lord. Now let's move to the next scripture here in Acts chapter 2. Amen. I want us to understand how powerful this is. It's the difference between living life supernaturally or living life according to our best efforts. I want to tell you, you and I don't have the power to change myself. I have the power to try, but I can't change myself because the life that I have is just what it is. I have to access a different life for me to be changed. In Him, by faith, I'm accessing resurrection life. I have the fullness of the resource that I need in order to be truly changed. Hallelujah. That is a wonderful and awesome thing, guys. I'm telling you, the more that I experience this, the more joy it releases inside of me. You know, a little bit more of that old self that I so dislike is going away. And a little bit more of the joy and the peace and the love that comes, that is like Jesus, that is in His image. I'm becoming more and more like Him. Hallelujah. The more and more that comes forth, you know what happens? There's greater joy. There's greater peace. There's greater life inside of me. Oh, hallelujah. How many are ready to be set free from yourself? I'll tell you what. I'm ready to be set free from myself. I'm done with the old way of living. I'm done with doing it the way that I know how to do it. I want the very life of Jesus Christ to come forth and to shine through me. And that is possible in Him. In Him. In Him. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now let's read our next scripture here. I'm kind of running this morning. Acts chapter 2. This is part of the message of Peter to the people there on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:22, it says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope." Hallelujah. It was impossible for him to be held in its power. Hallelujah. It was impossible because Jesus lived that sinless life and he sacrificed that life on the cross for us. Okay? There is never anyone, you know, that died more completely than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died. I mean, he was crucified, he was tormented. I mean, he was whipped. He was beaten. The Bible says that he wasn't even recognizable as a human being by the time they were done with him. The greatest empire of that day, along with the greatest religious system of that day, that of Israel, and the empire being the Roman Empire, they were agreed on one thing. They wanted this man, Jesus, dead. And they made sure that he was dead. He was delivered over to them by the foreknowledge of God. Amen. God knew exactly what he was doing. The enemy didn't know what he was doing because the Bible says that if he had known, that he wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. But God knew, according to his foreknowledge, he was delivered over to them. And he died as complete a death as any human being can possibly die. But, it says there, it was impossible for him to be held in the power of death. He died, but it was impossible for him to be held in the power of death. And church, I want to tell you that today, what we need to understand, and I've built all the scriptural foundation that I've built until now in order for us to understand this. Okay? In order for us to understand this, that in him, it's also impossible for the enemy to hold us under his slavery. In him, it's impossible for the things that we think have died in our lives, the callings that we think have died in us, for them to remain under that power if we will believe in the Lord. In him, you know, things die in us. We go through things where it seems like things have died. You know, and God has in him, he has the power to cause them to be raised up again. You know, I know of couples that when they got married, you know, they had a plan. They had a vision for their life. You know, they wanted to do certain things for God. I know of couples that really were wanting to accomplish great things for the Lord here on the earth, you know, but somehow as they were going through life, as they were going through the reality of the things that resist us, of the things that the enemy does in order to try to kill the things that we want to do for him, as they're going through those things, it seems like oftentimes people lose sight of what it is that they're called to do. And it seems like that people lose. This doesn't just happen to couples. It happens. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody, guys. And today is a day of resurrection life. Today is a day of resurrection power. Today is a day when God wants to raise back to life. And what I'm telling you is this, guys, that in him, it's not possible for the enemy to hold you under his thumb. In him, it's not possible for the things that you think have died and that can no longer become real in your life. If they're according to the will of God for your life, it's impossible for death to hold on to them. Hallelujah. If you've been called to do things in this world and you've been called by God to do them, it's not something of your own imagination, but it's something that comes through the Word of God. I want to tell you, God can raise those things from the dead, and it's impossible for the devil to hold you in his grip. It's impossible for death to hold you in his grip, in its grip, over those things that he has spoken. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to begin to think and to identify things that you know that God wanted you to accomplish for him in this world. Things that you know, and along the way, you know, perhaps defeats. I'm thinking of Job. He was a righteous man. He hadn't done anything wrong. But things came against him and took away everything that he had built up until that point. Things came against him and made it so that it seemed like it was impossible that he would ever do what he was called to do. It seemed like he had died according to what his calling really was. I'm thinking about King David, you know, who had been anointed as king of Israel. I'm thinking about King David, who had been anointed in the presence of Samuel and who was called to be, actually, the greatest king of Israel. But I'm thinking about the circumstances that overtook him, you know, and how he was turned over and Saul pursued him for years. I'm thinking about this man who was anointed to be king of Israel, okay? And there he is in the land of the Philistines, and he's having to act like a madman so that he won't be killed. He's having to act like he belongs on the third floor so he won't die. You know, how is it that someone like this is going to be the king of Israel? Well, I'm telling you, in him, it is impossible for death to hold on to that which he wants, what the devil wants to kill in your life. In him, it's not possible for that to prevail, because all rule and all authority is under him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Resurrection life is coming forth today. Resurrection power is coming forth today. In him, God has tremendous things that he wants to do in our lives. And I want to illustrate what I'm talking about with something that happened to me and Marisi. This happened some years ago. I had received a prophetic word from Pastor Tim Bagwell some years ago. And it was a very specific word where he told me, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you which stock to buy, because God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you financially. You know, and he prophesied that. And, you know, I had translated for him for many years there in Brazil. And I had seen many prophetic words come forth and be accomplished and be fulfilled through his ministry. So I had every reason to believe what he said, you know. And nothing seemed to happen right away. All right. But after a certain amount of time that I would guess to be about a year or a year and a half, one day, as I was in our old house on Old Chinkapin Road, I'm sitting there at my desk, and I just hear this little voice inside of me, buy Apple stock. Buy Apple stock. Okay? I looked it up on the internet, and it was selling for around $17 a share. Now, I had $6,000 in my bank account that I was saving for us to put a down payment on a house. Okay? Now see, here we're talking about not something that's from my mind. We're talking about something that God wanted to do for me. He wanted to bless me. You know, and church, I don't mind telling you, I really do desire that God would bless me. Why? Because there's a lot to do in this life. There's a lot of things that I want to do in India. There's a lot of things that I want to do in Italy. There's a lot of things that I want to do in Israel. There's a lot of things I want to do in Brazil. There's a lot of things that I want to do in Beulahville. There's a lot of things that I want to see come forth. And guess what? They all take money. Can I get an amen to that? They all take money. You know, and so the Lord knows I'm not trying to drive some fancy Cadillac. He knows that's not what my heart is. And he said, I want to bless you. I'm going to give you a stock tip. Okay, that $6,000, you know, that I was saving for the down payment of the house that we currently live in, that was really all that I had access to, okay? And, you know, I had the choice. Am I going to obey God and buy Apple stock, or am I going to put a down payment on the house? Well, you know the story because of where I live now. I put a down payment on the house. I didn't buy Apple stock. And then I watched that stock multiply and multiply. It went to 30. It went to 50. It went to 80. It went to 100. It went to 150. It split. It eventually went to $900 a share. I mean, I could have built three houses debt-free with what I would have received had I bought Apple stock at that point and held on to it long enough. You know, and this happened some years ago. And, you know, and I want to just say that when that happened, it's like something died inside of me. It's like, you know, the willingness and the ability to believe for God to do the things that he had said he would do in my life. Something happened to it in this particular area, not in other areas. Thank the Lord for that. You know, and so what I'm talking about today is, today I'm asking God and I'm believing God to resurrect that. Because the word that he spoke over my life has not changed. The calling and the gifting that he's given to me is irrevocable, is what the word of God says. And I'm asking God to raise that back to life. I mean, it's as fully dead as something like that can possibly be. I don't know anything about the stock market. I don't know anything about any of these things. And I'm not saying any of this because I have knowledge that God's going to do anything. I'm just believing that what he said he will still do. It's seen to die, but I believe it's going to come back to life. It's going to come back to life. And that's what I'm believing that the Lord, this is what I believe the Lord has said for this meeting this morning, that he's calling things back to life inside of us. Amen. Things that were his will for us, things that were his desire for us, blessings that he wanted to bring to us greater than we were able to believe or willing to believe. Amen. Things that life has beaten out of us. A vision to make a difference. You know, I believe that in this room there are people that God has equipped to make a real difference for children in this area. Amen. You know, and maybe if that is part of your calling, maybe you have experienced heartache and heartbreak with maybe even your own children. Because the devil wants to cause that thing that God wants to flourish inside of you. He wants it to die. He wants it to die. But today I'm telling you that in Jesus, it's impossible for death to hold on to those things. It's impossible for it to hold on to those things. Thank you, Lord. I believe I'm speaking to couples today. that when you got married, you had a vision. Maybe you thought that you were going to go serve God somewhere else. Maybe you thought you would do short-term missions trips and make a difference in other places of the world. Somehow along the way, that got lost. But today, I want to ask you, if you agree with me, to call those things back to life. Back to life in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus is here. Praise team, you guys go ahead and come on up. Jesus is here. He's got great things for us. He's got greater things. Let's all stand. He's got greater things for us than what we understand. This is a resurrection day. This is a day of resurrection life. Oh, hallelujah. This is a day of resurrection life. Hallelujah. Resurrection life. You know, and I want to ask very simply, those of you that know there is something that the enemy wants to keep dead in your life. There is something that the enemy wants to die, that it would never live, that it would never come forth in your life. If you're aware of something like that, or maybe more than one something, it might be over your family. It might be over your marriage. It might be in your individual life. If you're aware of something like that and you want to come to this altar and together with me and say, you know what? In him, this is going to live again. In him, it's going to come to life again. In him, it's going to, yeah, just come on forward. You can come on forward right now. Hallelujah. If there's anyone in here that wants that, just come on forward and begin to stretch out your hand. And begin to declare, in him, there's new life. In him, this thing has not died. It looks like it's dead, but it can live again. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In him, resurrection power is not just for eternity, but it's for this life. Because Jesus was raised from the dead and he lived on this world, on this earth, for approximately 37 days. And in those 37 days, the greatest move of spiritual power that the world has yet seen was launched from Jerusalem. It touched the whole world. Resurrection life is not just for eternity. It's for the here and the now. In him. Hallelujah. So I want to invite you with me. If you know of these things, I'm telling you, the Spirit of the living God is here. The Spirit of the living God is here. If you know of those things, stretch out your hand and begin to declare. Because like it says in the Word of God, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Oh, I speak. Come on, open up your mouth and begin to speak for things that are not of your own mind, but that you know are God's will for you. Hallelujah, that you know are God's will for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Couples, I'm telling you, God is resurrecting the dreams of couples today. He is resurrecting, he is raising them back to life. It's impossible for death to hold on to those things in Jesus' name. Let go, begin to declare, I believe. Hallelujah. Brother Cody, I want to declare that I believe that God has spoken over your life that you will prosper financially. I know you're blessed. I know that you're not in lack. But I believe that you will prosper. That God will give abundantly to you. And without us discussing it, I know by the Spirit that the enemy tries to steal that from you. Hallelujah. But it's impossible for him to hold that. Hallelujah. It's impossible for him to hold that. If that's what the Lord has said, then he will do it. Speak it forth in Jesus' name. Speak it forth in Jesus' name. I speak forth healing over Art Smith. I speak forth impact. Impact. Impact in whatever way that you want to impact, Lord, other people's lives through Art and Cindy in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Open up your mouth and begin to declare. This thing will live again. This thing will live again. This thing will live again. It'll live again. It'll live again. It'll live again. Oh, his anointing is strong in his people because we are in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We command death to be gone. We command the robber of the that would come against the word of God in our life that would steal that from us. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. Come on, declare the name of the Lord. Declare his greatness. Praise you, Father. 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 Richard Jada, I believe the Lord is speaking that something that is dear to you is going to live again. Live again. I really believe that he's speaking. He is touching you in your soul. He is touching you in your soul. He's touching your ability to live life in the way that you were called to live. Hallelujah. Without crushing sorrow, without crushing burdens, in Jesus' name, he's calling you forth into a life of joy and peace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Martha, I believe the Lord's asking you, how many children do you want to touch? How many do you want to impact? How many do you want to see changed? How many do you want to see touched by the life of Jesus? Hallelujah. Ask him, ask him, ask him, ask him, and believe him. Hallelujah. There is great authority being released into your hand to bless children, to bless children, to bless children. And we call it to life in Jesus' name. We call it to life in Jesus' name. We call for life in Jesus' name. God, you are real. You are here. You are with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elizabeth, I believe that you and Brandon are being called back to life in some areas today, even this day. You're being called back to life in some areas, even this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are good, Lord. Our praise team is going to lead us. Our praise team is going to lead us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In just a moment, in just a moment, our praise team is going to lead us. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, and John, I can't not speak to you. There's something that you're putting before him. God's going to bring it back to life. And you asked me to say that to you. And so I am. He wouldn't let me not say it to you. It's going to come back to life. 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 Thank you, Lord. It's going to live again. It's going to live again. Financial freedom. Freedom from debt. Freedom from crushing slavery in the finances. I believe this seminar will play a part of that, that Justin is leading. That God wants to call people to freedom, to life outside of debt. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, praise team. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord.
Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat.